Good morning, I'm Mark Purcell, and this is Cincinnati Edition. This morning, you'll learn the amazing story of an Italian cyclist who won the Tour de France twice and used his fame during World War II to help Italian Jews escape the Nazis. Gino Bartoli and the Road to Valor, later on Cincinnati Edition. In about 15 minutes, Fort Mitchell native David Gillum talks about his first published novel, City of Women. To begin with, Jay Hanselman has a look at what was making local news headlines this week.
Cincinnati City Manager Milton Dahoney signed a controversial parking lease this week with the Port Authority. His action came after the Ohio First District Court of Appeals refused to issue a stay in its decision on the parking lease case, clearing the way for the city administration to move forward with the plan. A three-judge appeals court panel ruled last week that ordinances passed with an emergency clause, such as the parking lease agreement, are not subject to referendum. But now some 5 to 6 council members either want to renegotiate the parking lease or repeal it completely. The Budget and Finance Committee discussed the issue Monday for nearly 3 hours. Councilmember Yvette Simpson supports the lease and says it's time to move forward.
And leadership requires making a decision. A decision. If we undo a decision, we should have a reason for undoing the decision. And the 5 individuals or whoever should be clear about why we're undoing it. And they should probably be consistent in that clarity.
But Councilmember Christopher Smitherman says objecting to the parking lease is leadership.
I reject any of my colleagues' position that asking questions, having a difference of opinion, is anything less than leadership. That is exactly what leadership is about, and it will be vetted out in the upcoming election.
Any effort to repeal or modify the parking lease would have to have the blessing of Mayor Mark Mallory, who sets the council agenda. Last week, he said a repeal is unlikely. The Ohio Department of Transportation is fast-tracking a project to build a new interchange at I-71 and Martin Luther King Drive in Cincinnati. Construction could start next summer and be completed in 2016. The city still needs to find a $20 million match for the project. Councilmember Chris Seelbach asked about that money during a meeting this week.
If the city does not have funding and does not come through, is there indications from the state that they will move forward on this with alternative funding? And if that's the case, then we should allow them to do that. Or do we really believe that this project will not go forward without city funding $20 million?
Some media reports said ODOT would go ahead with or without the city contributing funds. Transportation and Engineering Director Michael Moore responded.
As it has been expressed to me directly by the Deputy Director at District 8, they are looking for our participation in the project. If we're not there, he did not say that they would not go forward or they would go forward, but he said, we need your participation in the project. And that's a quote.
The city could still use money from the controversial parking lease for the $20 million. That's if council doesn't rework the terms of the lease agreement and reduce the amount of the upfront payment. The MLK interchange is expected to improve access to the uptown area near the hospitals and the University of Cincinnati. A Fairfield native will be the first woman president and chief executive officer of Duke Energy, the largest producer of electric power in the country. Lynn Good was unanimously elected by the company's board of directors to replace the retiring Jim Rogers, will stay on as chairman of the board until December 31st. The 54-year-old Good has been the chief financial officer of the Charlotte-based energy company since 2009. She joined Synergy, a predecessor of Duke Energy, in 2003. Good earned Bachelor of Science degrees in systems analysis and accounting from Miami University in Oxford. She spent 20 years working in senior management roles and as a partner at Deloitte & Touche in Cincinnati and Arthur Andersen. Prior to becoming chief financial officer of Duke, Good was group executive and president of Duke's commercial business organization. Good will take over her new role as president and CEO on July 1st. Nearly a year ago, a North College Hill police officer tased a man in the chest after an altercation at a basketball game, and he died. Now the family of Corey McGinnis Sr. has filed a federal civil rights and wrongful death suit. Attorney Al Gerhardstein says McGinnis posed no threat and shouldn't have been tased.
This should have been a routine arrest, but it became a deadly arrest. So the families joined with a bunch of other people in the community that are pressing for taser reform, and this lawsuit seeks damages and is also part of that reform effort.
Gerhardstein says 2 years ago, Taser International warned police to avoid taking upper chest shots. Cincinnati has since banned them. The Hamilton County Chiefs of Police Association is reviewing TASER policies and is scheduled to issue its recommendations this summer. North College Hill did not respond to a phone call asking for comments on the lawsuit. The U.S. Supreme Court has suspended prominent Cincinnati class action attorney Stan Chesley from practicing law before the court after his Kentucky disbarment. The Supreme Court order says Chesley has 40 days to prove why he shouldn't be disbarred from appearing before the justices. The Kentucky Supreme Court disbarred Chesley in March for unethical conduct in the settlement of a $200 million lawsuit involving the makers of the diet pill combination Fen-Phen. Chesley filed papers in April to retire from practicing law in Ohio. Chesley's attorney said he hadn't seen the Supreme Court order, but says they'll inform the Supreme Court that Chesley has retired. That's the Week in Review. For Cincinnati Edition, I'm Jay Hanselman.